The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I really believe we're probably, Mr. President, closer than, by far closer than ever before with both parties. We had sometimes when he was close and President Putin wasn't. Then when President Putin was close and he wasn't. You saw that in the White House, Mark. But I think they both want to see it happen. Russia's going to be helping. Russia wants to see Ukraine succeed. Once, it sounds a little strange, but I was explaining to the president, President Putin was very generous in his feeling toward Ukraine succeeding, including supplying energy, electricity, and other things at very low prices. So a lot of good things came out of that call today. But they were in the works for 2 weeks with Steve and with Jared and Marco and everybody.
Did Russia agree, or did Putin agree to a ceasefire to allow a referendum to take place?
Not a ceasefire. And that's one of the points that we're working on right now. No, not a ceasefire. He feels that, look, you know, they're fighting and to stop. And then to, if they have to start again, which is a possibility, he doesn't want to be in that position. I understand that position. The president feels strongly about that or something. But I think we're finding ways that we can get around that. But I understand President Putin from that standpoint. You know, you have to understand the other side. And you know, I'm on the side of peace. I'm on the side of stopping the war.
The stakes couldn't be higher this holiday weekend. We are just moments away from President Trump hosting Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at Mar-a-Lago. The anticipated sit-down coming just hours after Russia launched a devastating attack on the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv and the surrounding regions. So as Russia gets even more aggressive, what will become of today's push for peace?
Ukraine's military reports Russia launched more than 500 drones and dozens of missiles in Kyiv yesterday. Explosions booming across the capital, killing at least one person and wounding 27 others. Here's Zelensky in Canada yesterday.
This attack is, again, Russia's answer on our peace efforts. And it's really it showed that Putin doesn't want peace, and we want peace.
But a defiant Vladimir Putin is pushing back yesterday, saying, quote, if Kyiv authorities are not willing to end the matter peacefully, we will achieve all the goals we have in this special military operation by military means.
Plenty of derangement still on display when it comes to the push, the aggressive push for peace. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at TheTrumpet.com. Also, the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Rumble, I think there were quite a few views on Friday's show or for Friday's show. So make sure you go back and take a look at that if you get the opportunity. As far as future programs are concerned, we're going to be finishing this calendar year off with some mega montages. So you want to make sure you join the program tomorrow for all of the riveting footage and clips and so on that take you back over this past year, which has been just, I mean, it's made the head spin. So many prophetic developments unfolding. And so much, as I said at the top there, so much derangement on display. A lot to get to on tomorrow's show and the one thereafter. Today's show, we're going to finally squeeze in the Christmas program that my father put together about 11 years ago. Great Key of David, great content. And really, it exposes the paradox of this time of year when there's so much talk about peace and joy and prosperity and yet so much misery. It's all around us. But when you come to these ongoing, nonstop negotiations, we've made the point, Isaiah 33 talks about the ambassadors for peace weeping bitterly. But I think another angle to this story or this ongoing narrative, the push for peace, as you heard there in the cold open, another angle that you can look at is just how much we want to hear good news. And the Bible even speaks to this, that people won't want to hear the truth because they just want something that pleases them, that sounds pretty good. There's a few passages of Scripture that would be good to think on at this time. Isaiah 30, verse 9, it says, "This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the eternal." They just don't want God's perspective. They just don't want to hear God's truth. And they say to the seers or the teachers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits." I mean, just tell us everything's going to get better and better and better. And I mean, we've seen Laodicean leaders, ministers, fall victim to this. Well, fall victim's not really a good way to put it. So many of them, they led the rebellion against God. And they prophesied smooth things. They said everything's going to get better and better and better. We've been going through a fair bit of the history, what we have for our Fundamentals of Theology class this past semester, but even more recently, just looking back at that history, the fight for mystery of the ages, and of course we had all these big pronouncements from Laodicean leaders. If we just let go of that Armstrongism, you know, if we just let go of the law and that old covenant that Mr. Armstrong evidently was out there promoting nonstop, and they just twisted and distorted his teachings. And then they talked about if we just move on and we're fundamentally transformed, everything's going to be great. And everything was destroyed. God says, give them the truth, even if it's not a pleasant message all the time. Paul said that to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, he said, "There a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." And yet right before this verse, he says, "Preach the word." Just preach it nonetheless, even if they don't endure sound doctrine. He says, "But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." I mean, we can talk about peace and prosperity, and I mean, the way it's been described in the Middle East. Leave aside Ukraine. I mean, Prime Minister Netanyahu, he's also at Mar-a-Lago, I believe today maybe. So you had Zelensky yesterday. I mean, all of this peacemaking. Here's Deutsche Welle with respect to the ongoing negotiations with Israel over the war in Gaza, clip 9.
Well, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in the U.S. for talks with President Trump. The two leaders have a close personal relationship, but now with the U.S. brokered Israel-Hamas ceasefire seemingly on ice and Israel's continued strikes in Lebanon and Syria, Netanyahu's actions appear to be challenging the notion of Trump as Middle East peacemaker.
If you look at the agreement, the second phase is just unimplementable. It is not viable. And it has to do with the fact that Hamas did not disarm, that Israel did not fully withdraw, that no one in his right mind would join an international stabilization force until those two elements are fulfilled, meaning Hamas disarmament and Israeli full withdrawal. That makes the U.S. look foolish.
Yeah, but you listen to U.S. leaders, you hear President Trump, you hear Witkoff, and they're talking about peace that the region hasn't seen in thousands of years. Unprecedented levels of peace. And there's a snippet from Deutsche Welle that gives you the reality, what's actually happening on the ground. Coming back to the discussions with Zelensky and President Putin over the phone. This is clip 1.
We had a terrific meeting. We discussed a lot of things. As you know, I had an excellent phone call with President Putin that lasted for over 2 hours. We discussed a lot of points, and I do think we're getting a lot closer, maybe very close. Our meeting was excellent. We covered, somebody would say 95%. I don't know what percent, but we have made a lot of progress on ending that war, which is really the certainly the most deadly war since World War II, probably the biggest war since World War II. And I want to thank Steve Witkoff, who's here, and I'd like to thank Jared, who's here someplace. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Steve. What a great job you've done.
Okay, he says 95%, but then he starts issuing all the thanks to Witkoff and Jared, and hey, they're doing a great job. Everything's working out. Witkoff, of course, is the lead negotiator for America, the lead negotiator for Russia. He's pictured himself wake surfing in Miami Beach over the weekend. I mean, the negotiation, they're so close. And you can only imagine if they're this close after 3 years, 4 years of carnage. You would think they'd, if they were that close, you would think that they'd just be working 24/7. But no, I mean, it's time to go to Miami and do some surfing and then tweet about it. Vladimir Putin's top negotiator shared a video of himself casually wake surfing off the Florida coast ahead of Sunday's crunch talks between President Trump and his Ukrainian counterpart, Zelensky. I mean, these things are planned. Kirill Dmitriev, this is from the New York Post, the Harvard-educated special envoy and head of Russia's sovereign wealth fund, shared the video along with the caption "Miami Spirit" on X in response to a post by Ukraine's deputy foreign minister. Hey, we're here. We're having some fun. The Miami Spirit is alive. Putin's crony later shared a picture of himself on a balcony in Florida showing off the provocative T-shirt he wore during the video. The white T-shirt emblazoned with Russia's national emblem and the slogan "Next time in Moscow" referred to Putin's invite to President Trump at the end of the joint press conference in Alaska in August. And then it quotes this guy, Dmitriev: "Great leaders, honest dialogue, peacemakers, and the world should win." That's Russia. I mean, the talks have gone just splendidly well. We're being played like a fiddle. That's the truth of it. I mean, that's not smooth words, but it's what's happening. Is it true? You just heard it, so it is. That President Trump says that Putin wants to see Ukraine succeed? Do you think Putin wants to see Ukraine succeed? He says Putin was very generous in his feelings towards Ukraine succeeding. He's just so generous. He wants to see Ukraine succeed. This is called peace derangement syndrome. Just have a good chat with him. Talk it through for a couple of hours. Maybe do some wake surfing on the side. And then thank everybody. I'd like to thank Witkoff. I'd like to thank Kushner. Everybody's working so hard. I saw a video, by the way, of when President Trump was saying that about Putin. The camera was just fixed on Zelensky. I don't think he was buying it. Putin wants to see us succeed. Putin wants to, has been very generous. Putin's trying to lower the cost for energy for Ukraine because, you know, he just wants to help out the Ukrainians. Listen to this. This is a bit more from that press conference. Clip two.
President, you said this morning you weren't a deadline guy. How long do you think it'll take to get this last little bit, as you say, finished? What are we talking about?
So if it went really well, you know, maybe a few weeks. And if it went poorly longer, and if it went really poorly, it's not going to happen. That would be a shame. There's that chance also. You know, it's possible it doesn't happen. But, you know, in a few weeks, we will know one way or the other, I think. But if it went really well, but it could also go poorly. I mean, you know, we could have something where one item that you're not thinking about is a big item breaks it up. Look, it's been a very difficult negotiation, very detailed. It's funny, I settled eight wars. Some were going on for 35 years. And we got them settled in a couple of days. Some of them, one was going on for 37 years. I settled it in one day. But this is a very complex one.
Very complex. So it might take a little bit longer. but lots of hope, lots of optimism. Look at the fruits. This is from Time. The high-stakes meeting in Palm Beach comes after days of intensified Russian attacks on Kyiv and other cities, underscoring the urgency and the fragility of the diplomatic effort. Overnight, Russian-guided aerial bombs struck residential areas in the eastern city of Slavansk, killing at least one person. It goes on and gives some of the details. And it seems this happens every time. As soon as Russia smiles and says, yeah, the peacemakers are hard at work, they intensify the fighting on the ground in Ukraine. This is the same press conference, clip 3.
I saw a very interesting President Putin today. I mean, he wants to see it happen. He wants to see it. He told me very strongly. I believe him. Don't forget, we went through the Russia hoax together. And he'd call me, I'd call him, I'd say, can you believe the stuff that they're making up? And it turned out we were right. They made it all up. And despite that, we didn't get into wars or we didn't get into problems, but we weren't able to trade very much or any of that, which was a shame because, you know, a lot of success could have been had by trading with Russia. They have great land, great minerals and other things. And we have things that they want very badly. But the Russia hoax, which was a terrible made-up fictional thing by Crooked Hillary and by Adam Shifty Schiff and bad people, sick people. They made it up. It was all a made-up hoax. But it kept us really from dealing with Russia, kept Russia dealing, you know, from dealing with us. So, but despite that, we got along. And I don't know. I think we're going to get there. I know him very well. I think we're going to get there.
He knows Putin. They get along. He says Putin wants to see peace, and I believe him. He believes. You know, one of our news gatherers brought up this morning, when you think of the Daniel 8 man, there's a verse in Daniel 8 that talks about him destroying by peace or talking about peace. How's it worded exactly? And by peace shall destroy many. It's so easy, isn't it? I gave you the verses in Isaiah 30, 2 Timothy 4. It's so easy to talk about peaceful things. We saw a lot of it in the news cycle last week. A lot of talk about peace and joy. And then you get right back into the news cycle, and well, there's plenty to accumulate for the end of the year montage, which, as you know, if you've watched this show for any number of years, it shows you the real world. It shows you human nature. It shows you that this cannot continue. It can't last for much longer. But Satan's deception, his influence, his broadcast, it's so strong. And you see it in some of these statements. I believe him. I believe Vladimir Putin wants peace. The Free Press put out an article, what we learned this year, and it quotes from all of these influential commentators, leaders, H.R. McMaster. I learned that the human desire for freedom is universal and indomitable. Everybody just wants freedom. This is what he learned. Well, if you've been watching this show recently, you're learning more and more about the sickness, about man's inability to make peace, to solve problems, to end wars. There's another guy here from the BBC. I've reported on 40 wars, but I've never seen a year like 2025 where there's so much violence and division and strife, this guy says. And he's at the BBC. Most of it's just left-wing commentary. But, I mean, he's a war correspondent, so he's seen wars, and he's seeing a lot of it now. Never mind what the peacemakers say. Another one, Steven Pinker says, human progress continues with some backsliding. I mean, we're making progress. We're going forward. There's so many optimistic things in our future. A little bit of backsliding here and there, just a little bit. It reminds me of what Obama said years ago. You know, the world's a pretty good place. It gets a little messy from time to time, but, you know, for the most part, it's tranquil. I think that's the word he used. Bill Maher, he's the funny man slash commentator. I learned that maybe the optimistic historians who I sometimes argued with when feeling pessimistic might be right when they say our system and our democracy will win out in the end. I think our democracy, this is what I've learned in 2026. Democracy, I think it'll win in the end. Dave McCormick, we live in a polarized time, but I've learned this year that people are starving to see us work together. You see, the underlying all of these sentiments, these lessons, really is the belief that human nature is good. It's like we covered last week. Human beings are pretty good. And you go through page after page after page of the Bible, and God has a different story. God has a different take, a much different take. But look at this. Look at this story that's unfolding out of Minnesota. All of these billions and billions of dollars that went to fraudsters set up by top officials in Washington, D.C. using COVID as cover. I mean, it's just more proof, as if we needed more, that human nature is not good. Human nature steals and lies and cheats. And we're surrounded by it. Powerline, the blog, says, Shirley went to, speaking of this guy that produced a video, and we'll play a bit in a second, Shirley went to one of Minnesota's child care centers after another. He just went to one after another. They got all this government funding. Well, they're helping children, right? From public records, he would point out that a particular daycare center had gotten, say, $3 million in state funding and supposedly was caring for 90 kids. But one after another daycare center turned out to be more or less deserted. No kids in sight. They were just taking money from the government. And the government, because they lowered regulations. They didn't have as much oversight because COVID, of course. And then people stole from the government, lined their pockets. This guy's name is Nick Shirley, and we've pared his video down to about 10 minutes. Here's clip 6.
Potentially the largest fraud scandal in U.S. history is taking place in Minnesota as literally billions of dollars have been funneled through Somali-ran fraudulent businesses. So much fraud, it could actually almost replace the entire GDP of Somalia. These fraudsters have worked hand-in-hand with the Minnesota government as they enabled billions of dollars to be given to fraudulent businesses underneath welfare purposes. Some of this money eventually landed in the hands of terrorist groups in Somalia like the Al-Shabaab, and others enriched themselves all at the U.S. taxpayers' expense.
We have to be careful because these people are very violent. They're exceptionally violent.
Hello, is this your daycare?
No. Can you tell us why there are no children? Have you ever seen children at this child care center?
Yeah, I would like to see if I can put my son Joey here.
Who's your son Joey?
My son Joey. Can I check out daycare center?
No! I'm the owner.
Do you put your kid here in this daycare?
No.
There is one child in there. Yeah, I'd like to know if this is a legit business.
Me, I'm scared of you too. How come I explain you everything?
You're scared of me?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of your curry.
Because of my color. You said you're scared of me because of my color. Does that make you a racist?
Yeah, no.
But
no.
You said you're scared of me because of my color.
I'm not saying you're racist.
You said you're scared of me because of my color. That makes you a racist. So this is Quality Learning Center. I meant to say Quality Learning Center.
Don't open up.
They said they spelt learning wrong.
Don't open up.
How do you have ice here, ma'am? I'm literally a YouTuber.
Don't open up.
Ma'am, what do you think about the fraud that's taking place here in Minnesota?
Don't open up. We have ice.
Ma'am, what do you think about this place being licensed for 99 children?
Don't open up.
And getting $4 million
Don't
over the...
Don't open up, it's ice.
$4 million in the last 2 years?
Go away.
What do you think about that? Are you in
Go
favor?
Go away.
Are you in favor of that?
Go away.
You know
You're
they...
not welcome here. Are you... Shame on you.
Are you in favor of $1.9 million going illegally?
Don't open up.
Fraudulently to this business that has Quality Learning Center but can't even spell learning right on the door.
Don't open up!
Ma'am, we are not ICE.
I don't care who you are, you don't belong here.
Hello, how are you? I would like to see if I could bring little Joey, my son little Joey here. Is there a paperwork or can I check out the daycare? No? Why can't I check out the daycare? Okay, but if I can't get paperwork or anything to submit my son little Joey to come in here to daycare? We'd really like to put Joey in this daycare. We've heard great things.
Business card?
No, I would like your business card, actually.
You talk to your manager.
Okay, can I speak with somebody? Where are the children at? Are there children here today?
No.
No children?
Yes. Yeah.
Why are there no children?
Two of Mexico.
Would my son, little Joey, have friends to play with here?
No.
No.
Yes.
No friends for little Joey?
Yes. Sorry.
Ah, dang it. Well, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
We've been going to a lot of these daycare centers. We're trying to find a spot for our little boy, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought maybe we could check him into the autism center.
Because
none of the daycare centers are open. Yeah, and how many kids do you guys have at this autism center?
I can't give you a number now.
Like more than five?
Probably, yeah.
Probably, so you don't really know?
Yeah.
What do you guys think about like the fraud that's been labeled on the autism centers here? What do you guys do think about the fraud, or how come the autism centers are popping up?
I can't answer.
Are you a news reporter?
My name's Nick. We're doing a little documentary trying to find little Joey a spot to put himself in one of these centers here. Because there's...
So why are you asking us about the
fraud?
And stuff like that?
Yeah, because we want to make sure we're going to legit business if we're going to bring our little boy Joey here.
This is not a Joey spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's our number on the other phone. But this is we can't let you guys do so.
Okay. Thank you. Right here, you have a list of all of the healthcare companies. Loads of them right here. We want healthcare.
No, it's okay.
Yes, we'd like to speak about getting healthcare here.
No.
Why can't I get healthcare here?
No, wait.
And finally, we were accepted into one of the daycare centers and they actually took down our information to give us a rate. However, when we left, we were then met with the police.
We received a complaint that gentleman matching your description were in this building harassing the individuals who stay here.
Oh, we're checking out the rates for healthcare. Because there's 14 healthcare companies inside this building, so.
Okay.
Well, that's not what he said. He said there's 14 companies here. And he's trying to assume because they're Somali providers, everyone here is fraudulent.
Okay.
So
he's here with some kind of like propaganda.
No, we're just checking.
No, this is a area that we're allowed to enforce trespassing ordinance. Is there any other reason that you guys are here?
Well, we were checking rates.
No, he's not.
We were checking rates. We asked for rates.
No, you're not.
Okay. If you guys are all good, we're going to step outside and we can continue this conversation. All
right, let's leave. So, all right, we're getting escorted out right now. What's the problem, officer?
Well, so again, we've been getting reports from, you know, multiple individuals that you guys were harassing individuals who work here. At the end of the day, this is private property, and it's one that people are allowed to ask you to leave, and it's also one the Minneapolis Police Department is allowed to enforce trespassing ordinance at this address.
But what do you guys think about the fraud that's taking place here in Minnesota?
Sorry. No comments. Can I please...
Right here, you have Serenity Quality Care. All of these businesses are literally the same type of business, providing the same service in the same building. Another, Convenience Home Healthcare Aid, Inc., and Child Friendly Space. All these companies get money from the government. Why would you have the same company, essentially, inside of the same building, door to door? Right here, Queenly Home Healthcare. It just does not make sense. If you're trying to operate a business, you'd want to have less competition. But here, they have all of their competition right next door. We're wondering, because we hear there's lots of fraud taking place here in Minnesota, and we're wondering, why is there so many of the same companies inside of this same building?
No, I don't know that.
What do you think about the fraud that's taking place here in Minnesota?
I don't have any idea about that fraud, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
What do you think about the news articles and what's being spread on the news about the fraud?
Right now, you are doing something wrong.
I'm just asking you.
No, you
about
don't
the
have
fraud.
To ask me, okay? Don't ask me that question again. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Who can I speak to?
Yeah?
Who can I speak to? Okay, as soon as you confront about the fraud, they get angry. Do you think there is fraud taking place here?
I don't know, yeah.
Do you have any idea what any of these businesses are doing?
I never ask.
Hi.
Why are you calling?
Yes, We would like to know.
Well, it says we're trying to figure out 102 children. Is that for this facility?
What is the name? Why is
it? It's from the state of Minnesota website. It says you have 102 children here in your child care.
Which child care, ma'am? It's a lot of
Minnesota child care right here. It's from the state of Minnesota's website. We're just wondering where the children are.
Where are the children now?
Yeah, where are the children? It says you have 102 children here. And you got $2.66 million this year in funding and $2.5 million last year. We're just wondering where the kids are.
And who are you?
My name's Nick Shirley.
Nick Shirley.
And where are you? Which department?
That is harassment.
Oh, we are from ourselves.
Yeah.
Hello, we'd like to ask where the money's going. Look at that. Shut us down.
We don't want you to be videotaping anything.
Where is all the money going for if there's no children at these daycare centers?
Sir.
Yes.
I told you, please leave.
Yes, we have a question though. Where is the children at these daycare centers if there's millions of dollars?
Ask with the local government, yeah.
Oh, we've asked. We have the paper here. No. So we're wondering where the money and where the children are at. No, we have the paper right here. Come here.
Who are you, first of all?
My name's Nick Shirley.
You don't have any permission to record me. Period.
Can we talk
you
outside?
You don't have permission to record.
She doesn't either have,
you
she doesn't have permission to record me.
No, you cannot stop people on the street and question them.
We can ask.
You don't have any permission.
Where are the children?
I will sue you. You don't have any permission. We have nothing to do with this. You
okay.
Understand?
Then are there
children? So leave. Please leave.
Are there children here?
Please leave.
Where are the children? $2.6 million for a daycare center.
You ask whoever you think is doing that. You don't know what you're talking about, so leave.
Tell us what's happening here then.
I said leave.
We're wondering what's happening.
We are not a child care. We are nothing to do with you. We're common people walking. And
yes.
You are,
we're not accusing you. We're asking where the children are at.
Don't ask me anything.
We're not accusing you. We're asking the daycare centers.
I am not going to answer. You have.
Where are the children at?
Leave.
We just want to know where are the children.
Who you work for?
My name's Nick Shirley.
Who do you work for?
I work for myself, Nick Shirley.
Okay, what are you recording?
We're wondering, where are the children? $2.66 million for
you're not talking
the
to
Minnesota
the right
Child Care Center.
You're not talking to the right person.
Are there children that come here? Answer
you're
the question, are there
the
children?
Right.
There's no children inside this building.
I don't know who you're talking to.
America's broken. You can see it. Like I said, it's not like we need more evidence. The sickness, Isaiah 1 describes it, from head to toe. I mean, here's human nature on full display. Sick. Cancer. Human nature is sick. It needs to be healed, as Jesus said. And you know another thing about this? Here's this guy. I don't know too much about Nick Shirley, but he looks young. A citizen journalist here again exposing this corruption. It just runs all through Minnesota. Where's the FBI? Where's the DOJ? Where's the New York Times? Where's the Washington Post? Instead, it's Nick Shirley. There you go. Well, the New York Post at least has something to say on a related story. Is it related? Ilhan Omar's hubby, his $30 million firm quietly scrubs the names from website. A squad member faces mounting questions on sudden wealth amid Minnesota welfare fraud. Omar went from being worth like $40,000-$50,000 to being worth $30 million in 1 year. In 1 year. How did this happen? Who knew it was so lucrative to be hired on or voted in as a U.S. representative? She's just representing the people. Omar went from nearly broke to being worth up to $30 million in just a year. It says it was Somalia-born Omar who was seen in a resurfaced video last month dishing out food in a restaurant, now at the heart of the scandal, who introduced the legislation that critics say pave the way for what the feds have called the largest fraud of the pandemic. So here comes COVID. Using COVID as a perfect shield. Look, we have look what they did with mail-in ballots. what a fraud that pandemic was from the beginning. And you only heard that basically here at the Trumpet Daily. 5 years on, remember the article that we had at the Trumpet? The cure is killing us? That was back in the summer of 2020. Here we are 5 years later. Yeah, Omar, she got this legislation going, which basically said, no more government oversight, just send in the billions to all these child care facilities. It was a racket from the beginning. It says the Jimmy Choo wearing socialist introduced the Meals Act. This is Omar. Meals Act in Congress in 2020, relaxing oversight of government-sponsored children's meal programs during the pandemic. Just send in the money. The government did it. I mean, look at what Doge uncovered. And then there's the falling out. I mean, we've talked. I won't take the time to get through all the quotes from AUA and my father's other writings about this filth, this evil, this corruption being exposed. But, you know, we haven't written as much about people being held to account, criminals going to prison for this kind of thing. But it's sure being exposed. It's surely being exposed. God's giving us a wake-up call. God's giving us the truth about human nature. God's making an appeal to you individually so that you can come out of this world and be healed and receive God's nature. Shortly after the scheme played out, Omar's husband, political consultant Tim Minot, launched Rose Lake Capital, a venture capital management firm, in 2022. The company saw its reported value go from nearly $0 in 2023 to between $5 million and $25 million in just a year. It's perfect, isn't it? Perfect. It's all connected to Washington, D.C., the swamp. Mr. Hilliker writes in, this is 2022, you could say we're living in the age of exposure. The wretchedness of our politics, our medicine, our business, our culture, our society that was hitherto hidden is on display. Yeah, God's blowing it all open. And then you see just how ridiculous it is for even the preachers, as I covered with you last week, to be out there talking about human goodness. It's the Christmas spirit, right? Give gifts. Everybody's into giving. So they say. Now there's actually a dominant spirit of taking, of getting, of stealing. And it's everywhere. The cure is killing us. This is from the May Trumpet, 2020. America's cure for the crisis, this is speaking of COVID, the pandemic, is not unlike Britain's. Broaden the power of the central government, expand the welfare state, and mortgage our future and the future of our children. Yeah, give the government more power and grow the welfare state. Put all of these foreigners on welfare or let them steal. And don't punish them. Don't penalize them. I think it was the Pope just today or yesterday that came out and said, God's going to judge us for how we treated foreigners. Well, how about foreigners and how they're treating the home country? Coming in by the millions. Joe Obama opened the floodgates. And look at what it's doing to America. You think these are the kinds of problems that just get fixed overnight? You can't send in someone and talk about smooth things and get rid of this kind of a sickness. No, it's spreading. And the truth of it is, Minneapolis, it's just the tip of the iceberg. So more fraud, more corruption is to be exposed. And we learn more and more each day of the truth about human nature. This program my father gave back in 2014, as I say, he exposes this paradox of this time of year supposedly being this wonderful, joyous, unifying, peaceful time. But the facts don't don't bear that out at all. We'll finish today. That means we're going to be taking you over about 10 minutes. We won't charge you for any of those extra minutes. But this is my father's Key of David program from 2014. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The most popular holiday in the world is Christmas. Now, we know that it's supposed to represent peace and joy and family harmony, but quite a number of people are beginning to question that and whether or not that really is the case. We see the tradition of gift giving has been just developed into a spree of materialism. And we've all witnessed shoppers and being mobbed or mobbing stores and a kind of frenzied atmosphere, fighting for goods, the discounted bargains, and that has just become commonplace. Is that really the spirit of Christmas? What is behind all this? We know that families go deeply into debt often, and there is depression, and oftentimes that's related to the debt. And we see even more suicides, more crime, more drunkenness, accidents, and divorce, family disruption at Christmas time than any other time of the year. Those are fruits that are a little alarming. So what is Christmas all about? And is there maybe a hidden danger there that we need to be aware of? I want to give you a few quotes. These are authoritative quotes from religious sources as well as secular sources. And I want to give you a few of them to help you see what authorities even in this world say about Christmas, as I think many of you already know. But we need to look at them nevertheless and try to get God's perspective on all of this, or, well, what is it worth if God is not there? Here's what the Catholic Encyclopedia says. This is the early Christians did not observe birthdays, not even Christ's birth. The Catholic theologian Origen, A.D. 185-232, acknowledged that, quote, in the Scriptures, sinners alone, not saints, celebrate their birthday, end of quote. So he says they didn't even celebrate the birth of Christ, or anybody else for that matter. Here's one from the new Schaff Herzog Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, certainly an authoritative source. And I'll just give you their quote here. Somewhere around three centuries after Jesus' death, church leaders decided to preserve the celebration but affix Christ's name to it. And then here's their quote. The pagan festival with its riot and merrymaking was so popular that Christians were glad of an excuse to continue its celebration with little change in spirit and manner. That is, it was taken from a pagan custom, they say. Those are their words, not mine. So if you look at these authorities, you have to begin to question whether or not it is something we should be so involved in. But no, notice here what the today's Christian history says. They point out that nowhere does Scripture advocate celebrating Christ's birthday. It just isn't in the Bible. These are my words. But here's what Christian history says. Many believed it would be wrong to honor Christ in the same way Pharaoh and Herod were honored. Birthdays were for pagan gods. Now that's Schaff Herzog ads, Christian preachers of the West and the Near East protested against the unseemly frivolity with which Christ's birthday was celebrated, while Christians of Mesopotamia accused the Western brethren of idolatry and sun worship for adopting as Christian this pagan festival. And can you imagine what they'd think if they saw it today? If they saw what we were doing today. So there is a strong tie, they say, to the sun god. What's that all about? Well, there is a danger I'll ask a question. Is there a danger in keeping Christmas? Is there some hidden danger there in that? I want to show you something a little later that Jeremiah says that I think is very disturbing in that respect. But here we know there the people get together and they can have family reunions, which certainly kept in the right way is a good thing. So there's nothing wrong with that, and that can be helpful to the family. But how much of that is really a part of the celebration of Christmas? But we need to look for a hidden danger in this day. And I tell you, when you look into God's Word, you do see one. And it's disturbing, to say the least. So what does the Bible say about it? Well, if you look at Luke 2 and verse 8, it says, this is talking about the date of Christ's birth, December the 25th. And if you start researching it, the subject, there's no way it could be on that date. This is Luke 2 and verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, we wrote in our booklet, December is in the midst of a cold, rainy season in Judea. The shepherds always brought their flocks in from the fields and mountains to be corralled by mid-October at the latest for their protection. You can see that in other scriptures, Song of Solomon 2:11, Ezra 10 and verse 9, and verse 13. It was all for the protection of the sheep. So, if you, there's more here I could give you. I don't think I need to get into that because we'll give you the booklet and let you prove it to yourself in detail what we're saying here, and I'd give you a lot more than I can give you in this short program. But there are many people who keep Christmas know that it does have a pagan origin. And they say, well, they still think it's good and what they're doing is right and good. But there is something subtle and hidden here that we need to be aware of, that all of us need to be aware of. Anything that has to do with God is certainly, that were supposed to be related to what God did and all of that. Well, all of us need to be concerned about that. I think we can all agree on that too. So what is that danger? If you check those pagan customs, you'll see that every single one of them began with some kind of rebellion against God. Now that's just the biblical truth as well as the truth of many secular sources as well as religious sources. Let me give you another quote here from Biblica Sacra, volume 12, notes, quote, the interchange of presents between friends is alike characteristic of Christmas and the Saturnalia and must have been adopted by Christians from the pagans as the admonition of Tertullian plainly shows. The fact is, this custom fastened upon people of exchanging gifts with friends and relatives at the Christmas season, and it has not a single trace of Christianity. Now, this is written by Herbert W. Armstrong, I believe, but here's what he has to say. This does not celebrate Christ's birthday nor honor it or him. Suppose someone you love has a birthday, and then he goes on to talk about how instead of giving the person who has the birthday the gifts, you exchange gifts with everybody that's there. And that's not the proper way to do that. But it says, when the wise men presented gifts to Christ in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 11, they were following an ancient Eastern custom of presenting gifts to a king. when they came into the presence. They were not giving gifts to each other as many do today, but to him. That's in verse 11 of Matthew 2. Now, what about Santa Claus? Now, we know as we grow older that that is a myth, and it can be a little disturbing to young people when they learn there really is no Santa Claus. Well, where does that come from? Let me read to you just a short quote here about that. This is taken from the Encyclopedia Britannica. You couldn't get a much better source than that in a secular way. Here's what it says. This is the 11th edition. Saint Nicholas, Bishop of Myra, a saint honored by the Greeks and Latins on the 6th of December, a legend of his surreptitious bestowal of dowries on the three daughters of an impoverished citizen, is said to have originated the old custom of giving presents in secret on the eve of Saint Nicholas, subsequently transferred to Christmas Day, hence the association of Christmas with Santa Claus. So there is, you see, all of these activities we have at Christmas time, they started from paganism. Now, is that a trivial thing, or is it very significant? We need to know what God's view of this is. What does God say about Christmas? Can you prove that? Can I prove it? Do we really know what God thinks about all of these days like that? And Christmas is certainly the number one holiday around the world. But here is something we do need to think about, and there have been examples of people stating something like this after the children grow up a little older and see that they were really not told the truth about Santa Claus. Well, then they say, well, I'm going to begin to question my belief in God. And it can indeed affect their faith in an adverse way, and something I believe that we should think about. The Christmas means Mass of Christ, which it just came to be shortened to Christmas or Christ Mass or Christmas. So do you find any of the original apostles keeping Christmas? No, you don't. Did Christ keep it? No, he didn't keep it either. The origins of Christmas lie in ancient pagan practices. Not until the 4th century A.D., 300 years after Jesus Christ lived and died, did you have Christmas? So what's to be done about that? What are we to think about that? Let me give you one more quick quote here from Herbert W. Armstrong in his book or booklet, The Plain Truth About Christmas. But with the advent of Constantine as emperor, who made his profession of Christianity in the 4th century, placing Christianity on an equal footing with paganism, and the people of the Roman world began to accept this now popular Christianity by the hundreds of thousands. And then he goes on to talk about the S-U-N of God, the Son. The S-U-N was then changed to sons, S-O-N-S, sons of God, and applied to Christmas. And I don't have time to get into too much of that, and I just want to show you something that is really critical here. You've heard of Nimrod, perhaps, in Genesis 10, verses 8 and 9. Nimrod was a great tyrant, and he ruled over much of the known world. And his name means rebel or rebelled. He rebelled. And he was the grandson of Noah's son, Ham. And he built the Tower of Babel, the original Babylon, and the ancient Nineveh. And he actually founded the Babylonian system. Semiramis was his own mom, and it says here, Semiramis, through her scheming, had become known as the Babylonian Queen of Heaven. That made Nimrod the divine son of heaven, and together they became a perverted mother-son tandem. And gradually, he put himself in the place of the true God. So Listen to this quote, and then I'll get into a scripture I want to talk to you about that is just, I think, very sobering. While Nimrod was alive, he had put himself in the place of God. And he continued to they continued to worship him as a divine hero and called him Baal or master or Lord. And he acted like he was Lord of the whole universe. And he also had the name of Tammuz. And he was called, Baal was considered the sun god. And then there was Semiramis or Ashtarte, who was the great queen of Assyria or the queen of heaven. So what does this all mean to you? And then there's a lot about the evergreen tree and what it all meant. And it's just astounding how all of those beliefs come right out of paganism. You can account for almost every tradition involved in Christmas is from paganism. Now, is that all right? Some people think it is. But is it? Well, I don't have time to get into any more of that, but let me go with you to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Notice this. Hear you the word which the Eternal spoke unto you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Eternal, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Or that is, in other words, the sun god. Baal, the sun god, or Nimrod, or Astarte, the queen of heaven. Don't be dismayed at those. Verse 3, for the customs of the people are vain, for one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands and of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, and it moves not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. Now, look, when I grew up, that's almost precisely the way we would go out and get an evergreen tree for Christmas time and then decorate it exactly as they're saying there. So that evergreen tree tradition was, 600 years before Jesus Christ was what came to this earth and was born. Now, what is the danger then? Now, Jeremiah talks about just one of these traditions and then illustrates the danger, the hideous danger, if you will. And I mean, it's alarming, at least to me, the more deeply I understand this. Notice verses 6 and 7. For as much as there is none like unto you, O Eternal, you are great, and your name is great in might. Now, here's what Jeremiah is explaining, that where the people are distracted away from this. The might of God. I mean, the little baby Jesus is not exactly a picture of might, is it? Power, authority? No, it doesn't picture that. Verse 7, who would not fear you, O King of nations? And then verse 7 concludes, there is none like unto you. There's none like you. So Jeremiah is saying, well, now wait a minute. Those traditions cause you to move away from an absolutely essential understanding of the great, living, powerful, almighty God. That's what is being illustrated here. Notice verse 10. But the Eternal is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble. And the nation shall not be able to abide His indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by His discretion. Such power God has. And in those traditions, you don't get that. You don't have that pictured, and we cannot function without the power of God. We can't survive without it very long, usually. And then the latter part of verse 13, he makes lightnings with rain and brings forth the wind of his treasures. Look, we have a lot of problems in this world, and we need God's power. We need a religion of power and might and authority to help us, because we're often totally helpless. What about all of our race problems that we have today, and terrorism and nation-destroying deficits and political division, all the terrifying division, and we need God's omnipotent, all-powerful might to help us. We can't solve those problems, but God can easily. And all of those problems are a sign. They're a sign that Jesus Christ is about to come back and solve these problems for us, whether we like it or not. He's going to do it. And these very problems that you see around the world are a sign that he's about to come very soon. Verse 21, for the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the eternal. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Though God says, look, we pastors have an enormous responsibility here, or we'll just have the flock scattered. We're going to be held more accountable than anybody else. And that's why Jeremiah puts this first. And I want to show you the attitude that Jeremiah had. You see, again, saying these traditions like this tree, this evergreen tree and all of that, it is about other gods if you look at where it came from. And he says, now look, here's what is happening. It's getting your mind off the true God of this awesome power that he has, that is a part of our religion if we're following this God. Now look, Jeremiah showed us how to solve these problems. And let me just read verse 23. O Eternal, I know the way of the man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. O Eternal, correct me, but with judgment, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. So Jeremiah, the great, great Jeremiah, if he can say, Lord, it's not in power of man to direct his own steps, it just isn't there. And he saw that, and he came to God with a humble attitude and said, God, correct me, help me get these traditions the way they should be, and get your word the way it should be. I want to see what you have as direction, what your perspective is. That's what I want to see. Correct me. How many people have that attitude? Do I have that attitude? Well, it's hard to be corrected at times. But again, we need the very power of God. I could go on and give you a lot more information on that, but I don't have time. But I do want to, again, to tell you this all detracts from the holy days of God. Now, there is a holy, in that holy day plan, we are taught to memorialize the death of Christ, not the birth. In that last great day, everybody, it says in that last great day of that holy day plan that God is going to resurrect all the billions and billions of people who've never known God and give them a chance to know God for the first time. Now that is a beautiful and a wonderful truth, and we need to keep it in our thinking. We need to understand that. I just want to read one scripture to you that talks about the last days. Perilous times are going to come, and everybody's all wrapped up in themselves. They don't have natural affection. They're traitors. They're heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And notice what it says. Please get this. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. See, God says, look, there is power in all of this. There is power in true religion. There is power to overcome the devil and overcome the ways of this world. There is power to become a very son of God, born into the family of God for all eternity. That's not a fantasy, but there is this hidden danger, you see, that we get distracted in these traditions, these pagan traditions, away from the great and the powerful God, and we lose His perspective. What does He say, and does anything else really matter? Does anything matter but what God thinks and what God says? And we need the power of God to solve our problems. And He says He will solve them for us. And He's even going to protect His own people from what's coming in these terrible end times. He says He will protect those who do His work and give their lives to Him and dedicate themselves to Him. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.